Well, good morning. Welcome to those of you who are on our social media platforms. Be sure to heart, like, follow, subscribe, share, and make comments. Welcome to those who are on our phone live streaming service. If you are at home and you have access to internet, you can go to our church website, highlandbaptistchurch.com. And under the info tab, you can download the worship bulletin. And that way you can see what we have going on this week. Also, under don't forget, children's bulletins over here on the windows. If you would like one of those, please feel free to get one. If you are a guest here today, we want to make sure that you pick up. We got some welcome bags here at the steps here. We need to get a few of those made as well. If you brought someone, please make sure they get one of those. It has some gifts in it for you, as well as some information about our church and ministries. And also, if you're interested in learning more about our church, we do offer a class that Tommy Griffin teaches that you can sign up for on the bulletin board out here by pastor's office. It's called New Beginnings. It tells you a little bit about Highland, about the denomination Southern Baptist. And so just so that you kind of know what we hold to, kind of how we operate a little bit too as well. And so Pastor Jim is not here today. Him and Samantha are at the Southern Baptist Convention up in Indianapolis. So be prayers for them. They got there late last night. And so, but before we get started with our next song, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time that we can gather as brothers and sisters in Christ. God, I pray for those who are here today who may not know Jesus as their Savior. God, I pray that while they are here, God, you would draw them near. God, help them to see their need to be rescued. And Lord, I pray too that for Brother Mark, as he comes to preach in a few minutes, in a little bit, God, I pray that you would just use and speak through him. God, thank you for this time together. We pray for Brother Jim. Be with him and Samantha. Give them wisdom and guidance as they make decisions in the convention. God, we ask that you would be glorified and that you would be here amongst us. We welcome you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Good morning again, all. I know you've probably not sat down very long, but if you're proud to be in the Lord's house this morning, stand and let's praise him in song. We're going to hymn number 77. I know it's not Christmas, but I hope it applies. I've tried to choose one that applied to what we're expecting Mark to share. But let's sing, Come Thou Long Expected Jesus.
Save.
If you would, look at with me real quick our missionary moment, Caleb and Karina Betty. They serve the European peoples. And so as we come to our missionary moment in your bulletin, we want to ask that we pray for the Betty family and their as they are serving in Madrid, Spain. And you can read their story in the bulletin. And so, but please pray that God would continue to use social media to reach many people that need to hear the good news of Jesus. That's one of their main ways that they can do that in Spain. But before we pray, we also wanted to ask you to please be in prayer for Zoe, Evie, and Cash, who are the children of our missionaries in Moldova that we shared with you a few weeks ago. And let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we want to lift up to you this family, Caleb and Karina Betty. And Lord, we ask that you would just continue to use them as they are serving in Spain. God, I pray that you would help them to make the connections that they need to make with those who are using social media. And Lord, I just pray that, God, that you would just do great and mighty things through them. God, we pray for the missionaries in Moldova as well. God, that you would just comfort them, be with them, and encourage them. And Lord, I pray that if there's someone here today, Lord, who is seeking and desiring to go, Lord, that maybe it's a call to missions you're placing upon their heart. God, I pray that they would answer that call, help them to see that this calling that you're placing upon their lives is one of great commitment. Lord, help us to be faithful to share Jesus with those around us this afternoon, as perhaps if we go to restaurants for lunch, Lord, that we would continue on and making much of Jesus. Help us, Lord, to do this. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Also, we want to remind you that you can do your online giving on our church website, highlandbaptistchurch.com, and click on the Give Online tab. It's an easy platform that you can do a one-time gift or recurring gift for those who are here. You can use the offering envelopes in front of you. If you need one, we can help you out with that. Also, you can leave it at here on the in front of the pulpit, or as you leave, there'll be some plates at the doors. And so just a few quick more announcements. Don't forget to continue turning in your Who's One prayer cards that we can hang over here on the cross and pray for people. And also follow our church on the YouVersion Bible app by downloading the app and then tap and discover. You can search for our church and then set it as My Church. And we have a new Bible reading plan there called Light in a Dark World in the book of Ephesians as Pastor Jim continues to preach through Ephesians. Also, if you would like to join our Facebook group for members and attenders, please scan the QR code in your bulletin, and we'll approve you to the group later today. And here is a larger code for those in the back. You can scan that with your camera app on your phone, and it should send you to that page where you can request to be a part of it. All right, Brother Mike, lead us.
You know, we've all go through rough times, low times, sad times. And even in those times, we can fall back on the promises that God has made to us, and we can stand on those promises. So even, I hate to ask you again, but you can't sing this song sitting down. Let's stand and sing Standing on the Promises, hymn 335. Okay.
Promises of God. Stand.
Now, if you'll remain standing. Children's Church will be gathering over on the piano side, and we'll sing our last song before the message that Brother Mark is going to bring. My Faith Looks Up to Thee, hymn 416. Please join us. Rima.
Good morning. It is always a delight to be with you here at Highland. And it is my privilege to serve with you this morning. I want to start with a little bit of a visual journey this morning. And so I have a few pictures to share with you. The first picture that you're seeing here, you may not recognize the setting, and it may not look terribly distinctive, although the tree behind me is a tree you wouldn't see around here. It's an olive tree. I'm in the Garden of Gethsemane, just outside the city of Jerusalem in this picture. The Garden of Gethsemane is on the Mount of Olives, which is a ridge that runs along the eastern side of the city of Jerusalem, outside the city. And so in the next picture, you're going to see the view from the Mount of Olives looking over the city. So as you look from the mount, you see the city wall there running through the middle of the picture, and you see the various buildings and all there behind. And that big golden dome is called the Dome of the Rock. It is the third holiest site in Islam, which is a little bit weird because it sits on the most holiest site in Judaism. That is the site of the original temple. And the temple was destroyed. Solomon's temple was destroyed in 586 BC by the Babylonians. It was later rebuilt. And then the Romans destroyed it again in 70 AD. And there's been no temple since 70 AD, almost 2,000 years. This mosque was built there since that time. They're just inside the city wall that you see there. Down below at the bottom of the picture, you can see little rows of trees running across there. That's called the Kidron Valley. So in the Gospels, we're told of numerous times when Jesus spent time in prayer in the Garden of Gethsemane. And as he would go back and forth between the garden and the city, he would descend down the hillside off the mount, go down through that valley where those rows of trees are there at the bottom of the picture, and then back up into the city through the city walls. Now, in the next picture, this is a Catholic church that is built on the site of the palace of the high priests. So in biblical times, they had a place where whoever was the high priest was at that time, that's where they lived. Kind of like if you're elected president, you're gonna live in the White House. For them, they had this special residence for the high priest. That also was destroyed by the Romans along with the whole city in 70 AD, but this church is built on that site where that palace was at that time. At the time of Jesus' life and ministry, and the one who conducted part of his trial, that was Caiaphas, was the high priest at that time. Now, we're gonna turn around our perspective in the next picture. And in the next picture, we are standing in the courtyard of that church, looking back outside the city toward the Mount of Olives. So at the very top of the picture, on that ridge line at the top, that's where we started our visual journey at the Mount of Olives in the Garden of Gethsemane. In the next slide, in the middle there, you see down in the Kidron Valley. And so that would be the path that a person would take from the Garden of Gethsemane coming toward the city. They would come down into the valley. And then right at the bottom half of that picture, up closest to you, those are stone steps that lead up to what at that time would have been this palace of the high priest. We're told that when Jesus was arrested, that he was brought by the soldiers first to the palace of Caiaphas, the high priest. So in this picture that you're seeing, that is a visual of the path that Jesus was led on the night that he was arrested and brought to the palace of Caiaphas. Those stones coming up to the palace there at the bottom half of the picture, those stones date to the time of Jesus. It is highly probable that Jesus walked on those same stones the night that he was arrested and brought to the palace of Caiaphas. We're told about that in Matthew 26, as well as in the Gospels of Mark and Luke. Now, here's the challenge that Jesus would have been up against, first of all, before he went through any of the torture and agony that he was going to go through, when he was brought from the garden in the evening to the palace, he was going to have to wait until the morning before he could stand trial. The Gospels tell us that the trial did not start until daybreak. So it would have been 8 to 10 hours that they were going to have to do something to keep Jesus secure under arrest. Well, they had a plan in place, not only for Jesus, but this would have originally been done for whomever was awaiting trial under arrest. In the next picture, I don't know how well you can see that, but that is a hole in the ground. The picture was taken from inside the hole. Inside the hole is a pit. It's probably about the size of one of your bedrooms in your house, maybe about 15 by 15, at the most 20 by 20. And it would have been in this pit that Jesus would have been cast to keep him secure while he was awaiting trial the next morning. Now, today, for the sake of tourists, they have created a stairway of rock down into the pit. So that's, I did not get thrown into the pit. I chose to descend into the pit, but Jesus would have been thrown, dropped through that hole to the bottom of the pit below, which is probably in the neighborhood of 20, 25 feet. So he would have just been thrown down in there and dropped to the ground. In the morning, when they needed to retrieve him for his trial, they would have dropped a rope down and he would have held on to the rope and they would have pulled him back up out of there. There's no way in or out in their day, except for in and out of that hole that they built. So the view that we just saw looking down those steps and across the valley and up to the Mount of Olives, this hole was the destination. The pit was the temporary destination where Jesus was being taken. The first time that I went to Israel, it was not terribly long after that one day I was just reading my Bible. I was reading in the Psalms, and I came to Psalm 88. And that's going to be our focus this morning, is Psalm 88. Then Psalm 88, as I read this, I thought to myself, that sounds just like what Jesus must surely have felt like when he was in that pit. And so I want us to read a few verses. We're not going to read the whole psalm, but I want us to read a few verses and think about how this would have reflected how Jesus more than likely felt in some way, and how it speaks to our lives today. So in Psalm 88, we're going to start in verse 3. It says, I am overwhelmed with troubles, and my life draws near to death. I am counted among those who go down to the pit. I am like one without strength. I am set apart with the dead, like the slain who lie in the grave, whom you remember no more, who are cut off from your care. You have put me in the lowest pit. In the darkest depths, your wrath lies heavily on me. You have overwhelmed me with all your waves. Now let's just look at the individual phrases that multiply through those few brief verses. Overwhelmed with troubles, draws near to death, among those who go down to the pit, without strength, set apart with the dead, like the slain, remembered no more, cut off, put in the lowest pit, in the darkest depths, wrath lies heavily, overwhelmed me. As you think about what Jesus was encountering that night and what lay ahead of him the following day, and he knew what lie ahead of him the following day, can you see how this psalm speaks to what he surely must have been feeling and thinking about as he spent those hours in that pit? You know, in the Bible, there's several people who get thrown in a pit. One was Joseph. In Genesis 37, we're told that when Joseph came to his brothers, they stripped him of his robe, the robe of many colors that he wore. They took him and they threw him into a pit. His own brothers. And the prophet Jeremiah, he was telling the king and the people of Jerusalem that the Babylonians were going to take the city. Jeremiah was a bearer of bad news, and they didn't want to hear it. So they threw Jeremiah into a pit to try and silence him. Jeremiah said, "They tried to end my life in a pit and threw stones at me. I called on your name, Lord, from the depths of the pit." But in Psalm 103, David gives us a different perspective on the pit, because there were many things that happened to David in his life that would have made him feel like he was in a pit, even though he wasn't physically in a pit. But he knew who could redeem him from the pit. So in Psalm 103, it says, "Praise the Lord, my soul, all my inmost being, praise his holy name. Praise the Lord, my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgives all your sins and heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from the pit and crowns you with love and compassion, who satisfies your desires with good things, so that your youth is renewed like the eagles." David knew that regardless of the circumstances that came against him, no matter how much he might feel like he was in a pit, that he had a God who could deliver him from any pit. And that would have been what would have sustained Jesus in those hours, as he was in a literal pit, and as he knew that the cold, damp, hard rocks that he sat on in the floor of that pit that night, perhaps with rats scurrying around him, that was actually going to be the highlight of his next day. That was as good as it was going to get. It only went downhill from there. But he knew who would deliver him and see him through the pit. You know, we may never be thrown into a physical pit, but sometimes we feel like we're in a pit. Life is not always easy. We live in a fallen, broken world. And sometimes circumstances come against us that may be of our own doing or may be totally outside our control. But regardless, we feel like we're in a pit. And just as the person in that pit that we saw in the picture would have had no way out without somebody dropping them a rope, no way out without help from some other source, so too for us. There are times when we may feel like we're in a pit, and we need to remember who is the source of our deliverance. Scripture tells us many ways that God delivers us from the pit. God delivers us from the pit of death. In Psalm 30, verse 3, it says, "You, Lord, brought me up from the realm of the dead. You spared me from going down to the pit." And Job 33, 28 says, "God has delivered me from going down to the pit, and I shall live to enjoy the light of life." Job says, "It is dark now, but I know God is going to bring me light." God also delivers us from hell. In Isaiah 38, 17, the prophet says, "In your love, you kept me from the pit of destruction, and you have put my sins behind your back." I don't know about you, but with each passing day, my rememberer gets weaker and weaker. And I tell my wife all the time, if you want me to remember to do something, set it out so I can see it. Because if I don't see it, I won't remember it. The psalmist says, God takes our sin and puts it out of sight, out of mind, behind his back, not to be remembered anymore. God also delivers us from adversity. Psalm 40, verse 2 says, "He lifted me out of the slimy pit, out of the mud and mire. He set my feet on a rock and gave me a firm place to stand." What kind of pits have you experienced in your life? If you've been on this earth very long, the odds are great that there have been one or perhaps numerous times when you have felt like you were in a pit and you didn't know when or if or how you were going to get out of it. But God can deliver us. He can deliver us from the pit of discouragement, the pit of depression, the pit of doubt, the pit of despair, the pit of oppression, of fear, worry, the pit of grief. He can deliver us from the pit of sickness and disease. the pit of besetting sin, the pit of addiction, of abusive relationships, of trauma, the pit of guilt and shame. And he can deliver us from the pit of our past. Paul knew what it was like to experience the pits. Paul said in 2 Corinthians 4, "We are hard pressed on every side, but not crushed, perplexed, but not in despair, persecuted, but not abandoned, struck down, but not destroyed. Therefore, we do not give up. Even though our outer person is being destroyed, our inner person is being renewed day by day. For our momentary light affliction is producing for us an absolutely incomparable eternal weight of glory. No matter how dark it may be, no matter how hopeless things look like, when we set our eyes on Jesus, we can trust and know that he will deliver us. It may not be in the timing that we would like. It may not be in the manner that we would like. But if you belong to Christ, if you have put your trust in him as your Savior and Lord, you can know beyond a shadow of a doubt that regardless of what life throws your way, he will see you through. The last verse that we read in Psalm 88, verse 7, strikes me a little different on first reading, but as I pondered it, the Lord gave me some thoughts about it. The psalmist says, "You have overwhelmed me with your waves." What in the world does that mean? Waves? When I was a young child, somewhere in the elementary school years, I don't remember the exact age, but I remember when I learned how to swim, and I know it was before that, I couldn't swim. Our family had gone to Daytona Beach, and we were spending time on the beach. And I was playing a game, challenging myself as one who could not swim to see how far out I could go. And so I wasn't trying to paddle out, I was trying to walk out on the floor under the water. And so I got further out and further out, the water got higher and higher, and of course, at the ocean, waves are coming in, and that raises the level of the water with each passing wave. So part of the game that I was playing was bouncing up as a wave would come in over my head to try and keep my head still above despite the wave. And I kept going a little further and a little further and a little further, and I was up to here without a wave. And I said, "I'm going to take one more step, and that'll be as far as I'll be able to go." But I could see the biggest wave I'd seen all morning headed my way. So I thought, okay, I gotta take this one last step and then I gotta hurry back. But my wave is about to hit me. And I took that one more step, and what I had no way of knowing was, in that one last step, I was stepping over a shelf. And it was a drop of at least a foot. And so as I took that step, I went, whew. And right about that time, that big wave came in. And so I'm pushing up as hard as I can and struggling to get my head above water and gasping for air and gulping the seawater. And I'm in a state of panic and my arms are flailing. And fortunately, the push of that wave pushed me back up over the shelf, so that once the wave had passed by, I came down and was able to stand again. But in that moment of crisis and panic, I didn't know if I was going to make it or not. Sometimes we can feel that way in life. The waves crash over our heads, and we feel like we're going down for the last time, and we don't know whether we will make it through or not. Think about what Jesus went through on our behalf. He was tempted, he was tried, he was rejected, he was afflicted, he was tortured, he suffered grief, agony, even death. Every range of adversity possible. Yet he conquered it all. And he conquered it all to bring us hope and peace and joy, abundant life and eternal life. Through it all and despite it all, all the good things that God has for us, Jesus came to bring us. What kind of pits have you been through? What kind of pit might you be in, some of you, even right now? You're sitting there going, but you don't know what I'm going through. No, I don't, but the Lord does. And when your eyes are set on him and your trust is in him, he has promised to see you through. And he has already been through it himself. He knows. He knows the kind of things that you're going through. Only Jesus can redeem you from your pit. The question for each one of us is, are we going to trust him to redeem us? Are we going to stand in the bottom of that pit and hop and jump and reach and hope that there's some way that we can find a way to reach that opening? No, there's no way. It's only through Jesus. And for anyone here today, in the worst pit of all, the pit of sin, the pit of a broken relationship with God, Jesus wants to redeem you from that pit. If you will let him, if you will trust him, if you will ask him to forgive you of your sin, he has promised that he will. And he will restore you to the broken, from the broken relationship that you have with your Heavenly Father. Let's pray. Jesus, we thank you for all that you went through for us. We did nothing to deserve it. We can never earn it. It's all because of your love and your mercy and your grace. We thank you. Lord, for each one here this morning, I pray that they will have the faith that when life tosses them in a pit, they will know where to turn, where to look, and whom to trust. And for anyone here who's going through difficulties in this life, even right now, and they feel like they're in a pit and they don't know how they're going to get out, Lord, we know the way to get out. It's in you. Reveal that to them. And Lord, for anyone here who does not know you personally as Savior and Lord, I pray that today would be the day that they would trust in you to pull them out of the pit of sin. Lord, we thank you for your deliverance. We thank you for your redemption. We thank you for your salvation. And it's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. If there's a way that you feel that you need to respond to what we've talked about in the last few minutes, as we sing our song of response, Brother Matt's going to be here at the front to talk with you, to pray with you. I invite you to come as we sing.
Of my heart is Thank you, Brother Mark, for that message. Ms. Brittany has an announcement.
Real quick, if we can watch that VBS video.
Left up to you, that only gets you so far. You know it's all about grace, love, mercy, and faith, and trusting God with your heart to get to heaven. A, admit to God that you're a sinner and repent. B, believe that Jesus is the Son of God. C, confess your faith in Jesus as Savior and Lord. He's the only way. It's left up to you, that only gets you so far. You know it's all about grace, love, mercy, and faith, and trusting God with your heart to get to heaven. A, admit to God that you're a sinner and repent. B, believe that Jesus is the Son of God. C, confess your faith in Jesus as Savior.
As you can tell, we had a great week this week at VBS. First and foremost, I just want to thank everybody that had a hand in putting this week together and teaching and into these kids' lives. It has had a huge impact on them from now until they're 80 years old, so thank you for that. This week, our mission focus was for Isaiah 117 House. Isaiah 117 House is a nonprofit. They have a house for Coffee, Grundy, and Franklin counties, and they house children that are in transition from DCS to foster families. And so this week we asked the kids to bring in change for Penny Wars, and our goal was to raise $200, which is what this signifies. But our kids are really great, and they actually raised $240. So. We surpassed that goal. They also, during their missions time with Miss Terry, were asked to bring in items like snacks, chips, chocolate bars, stuff for party supplies, things like that. We are still going to be collecting some of those things for the next few weeks, and then the change that the kids brought in along with those items will be given to Isaiah 117 House. So again, thank you guys. We had a really great week, and we couldn't have done it without you. So thank you.
Thank you, Brittany, for all you did for VBS as well. Thank you. Pastor Matt? Okay. Please pray for the kids. They're going to Century Kid this week. That is happening this week. And a couple other announcements. The baby bottle turn-in, that is the 16th, is deadline for baby bottle turn-in, so please be sure to get those in. And there's a slight typo. It says the April finance report should be available at the quarterly business meeting on the 16th. That is actually on the 23rd, because there is no service on the 16th. And a prayer request. Please bring in prayer for Brother Jim and Samantha as they're traveling to and from the conference. And Patricia Durham's family, the passing of her mother, Christine Cranford, please bring in prayer for them. And she is at Kilgore Funeral Home, and the arrangements will be announced soon. Is there any other prayer concerns? All right, let's close in prayer. Lord, thank you for this day and for this time to come together and hear your word. Thank you for Mr. Puckett as he delivered our message today. Please be with us and guide us and through this week, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.